Welcome back to Beyond Sports on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com. Hannah Stanley with you today, as I am always, and joining me in studio, as I like to have them do as frequently as possible, Chauncey and Arik, who are registered nurses here, but also have come today to talk about a variety of things, including PTSD, which we are now getting to.
Arik,
part of what... the only thing interesting about you, no, part of what is interesting about you is your work in kind of disaster areas. When bad things have happened, Arik runs in and helps. Tell me some of the experiences you've had and seen with PTSD, because this is becoming a far more frequent thing that our population is experiencing.
Yeah, I think what happens when we really take a look at educating providers and educating the general population about things like post-traumatic stress disorder, we find that the numbers go up because we're just better at catching these things. I think all of us can look back through our family history and our friends and say, you know, I did have an uncle or a friend or someone who went through something very traumatic. It just was never quite the same. Mm-hmm. And I think the language of how we explain those stories and how we kind of look back over those experiences is really changing. And so you're seeing these numbers go up and up and up. And it isn't necessarily because I believe we're exposed to more traumatic events per se, although I'll get into that in a little bit later with, you know, war and natural disaster. But we certainly are better at catching these things. And I think when we have the skills on the front line to say, you are experiencing some signs and symptoms that I believe could lead to or are indicating PTSD, we can intervene much earlier. And early intervention is always the way to go.
All right. I want to clarify, because you just said on the front line, and you mean as responders and as caregivers.
That's actually a term that we use quite a bit, and it's applicable in a lot of different situations. Okay. On the front line in my line of work could be when I'm clocked in as a registered nurse, the front line could be the bedside. The front line could be if I see a traffic accident on the freeway and I pull over. Mm-hmm. The front line could be when I talk to a schoolroom full of children about, you know, hand washing. The front line means a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. Parents,
and it can also mean militarily.
Absolutely.
Engaged. Yeah.
Parents are on the front line every day. The military, I wish I could shake the hand of each and every person in the armed services. Mm-hmm. I cannot believe what they do and the things that they go through. Mm-hmm. And that's why we talk about PTSD. So many people immediately think to military. The military example, because let's face it, we are putting men and women in harm's way, regardless of how you feel about the intent of that project or that war or what's going on in that theater of conflict. It doesn't matter. We're still
doing it.
Right. We're still putting these people out there, and they still come home with a lot of these residual effects. And where it kind of got personal for me was, so I talked last time about the Haitian earthquake of 2010. Mm-hmm. And I've always kind of had an interest in disasters. I think severe weather is just amazing and mind-boggling. And I'm that guy that's outside in a hailstorm looking up at the sky, you know.
So I could see that.
You know, yeah. Maybe I got hit in the head a couple times with some hail. So maybe I should have spoke up more in the
traumatic brain injury segment we did earlier. Yeah.
But it's one of those where, like, I didn't really have that aha moment until I started looking more at nursing, and especially when I got to Haiti. You know, we arrived on a Saturday afternoon, and by the time we got our luggage through customs and dealt with that whole debacle, you know, the sun was setting. And I have never been in a country like Haiti before, and I walked out of the airport and I said, oh my God, I didn't even think about it. There are no streetlights.
Right.
So we walk out, and all you smell is burning trash because there's no garbage collection. Mm-hmm. You don't see anything because there's no lighting. Mm-hmm. So the whole city of Port-au-Prince, at least around the airport where we were that night, is this hazy, foggy, orange hue, kind of a color from the campfire. It was just a shock to the system. And I got onto our transit bus to our housing, and I just sat there like, what did I just do? Where am I? So even from the minute of walking off of that plane, I was like, this is already starting to weigh on me. Mm-hmm. And between the airport and our housing site, I kid you not, we passed a pickup truck in the middle of the road, completely engulfed in flames, that no one was trying to put out, and everyone was walking around. And I'm thinking, as a nurse, or at the time I was a nursing student, but I was thinking, get away from the truck that's on fire.
It's going to explode.
It's going to explode.
Yeah.
So in a matter of a short hour to hour and a half, we had all this imagery and the sights and the smells and the noises. And you kind of start looking at this and you're like, I completely get how PTSD happens.
Okay.
I'm not saying that I had any of the signs or symptoms, but I understand when you get outside of your own element and you're exposed to something so different, your brain really has to work in overdrive to kind of process some of that. So when we talk about disaster zones, whether they're man-made or natural, when we talk about the military, you know, it isn't always one singular experience that causes people to have an impact or an insult, as we like to throw that around in medicine. You know, you can have a psychological insult from the same repeated exposure to something that seems so innocuous on the surface, but the length of time you have to deal with it is what causes the event. Whereas you could also have something where we see often in, survivors of traumatic crime, you know, rape, child abuse. It could have been one event that was so serious and so traumatic for that victim that was enough to kind of launch into these signs and symptoms and all the repercussions that come with it. So getting to a place where I firsthand started experiencing some of those feelings, I was like, it's amazing that we don't have more of this happening. So I think that was really the personal connection for me. And through my time in Haiti, you know, I kind of joke with some people. I said, it really wasn't until day four that I kind of woke up. And
how so?
On day four, I kind of looked around and I was like, all right, I know where I am.
Okay.
I kind of know what to expect.
You had sort of digested what was happening?
A little bit. It didn't feel so foreign anymore. It didn't feel so odd. Like, from the airport to housing or from housing to clinic, you know, every piece of like sensory information coming in my body had to be processed. You know, when I walk down the street to get to the studio today, I'm not looking at the taxis or the buildings or the people walking down the street, because I'm used to that. I know what they're
right.
doing.
Right.
But when you're a soldier walking through a street in the Middle East, you are looking at every window, every truck, every person walking towards you, every person running away from you. Mm-hmm. You are looking and analyzing everything, and your brain just is overloaded.
So it is the overload of stressors that can contribute to part of it as well?
The stress comes from a lot of places, and I think the stress, and I should, you know, kind of preface this by saying I'm certainly by no means an expert on PTSD. Right. This is just an area of interest for me that I have kind of come into in the last couple of years. But the stressors are both things that we tell ourselves need to be a stressor because that keeps us safe.
Mm-hmm,
you know, when
mm-hmm.
we tell our kids.
Stranger danger.
Right. If you're, or, you know, our college kids, if you're out late at night and you're walking down a street and you just feel like someone's walking behind you, cross to the other side of the street.
Oh, I'm all about conflict avoidance.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But these are...
you listen to the gut. Yeah.
Yes, because your gut has a real reason to keep you safe.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not safe and not alive, your gut isn't either. But,
right.
You know, to kind of boil it down, you know. But it's one of those things where we as people attach stress responses to certain things. And some things, we don't have to do that. Our body has a startle reflex that we test with newborns. You know, we want to make sure that when we lean you back slightly, your arms flail out. That is a normal neurological response to a baby having the feeling that it's falling. And if you don't respond like that, we need to do a little more looking into it. So part of what makes this such a difficult topic, but also so incredibly interesting, is you look at the causes and all the different directions that they can come from. And was that something that you put a stress response on that trigger because of your own past?
Mm-hmm.
Was that a natural response? You know, when the tornado hits your city, you don't have to think about the fact that I should be afraid of this and I should run.
Mm-hmm.
Your fight or flight kicks in. You know, and hopefully have been taught, seek shelter. These things go into place very quickly. Your body doesn't have to tell itself, or you don't have to tell your body, you should be stressed out right now. I need faster heart rate. I need more adrenaline. I need to breathe better, so my lungs need to open more. These are all things that your body does. So when you're working with PTSD and looking at the causes of it, it isn't enough to say, this is the formula we know causes it. This is the formula we know fixes it. It's individual, and it's happening a lot more than we think it is. And we're getting better at looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, we still have so much work to do. And especially, I think in pediatrics, it's just that much more difficult because we kind of talked about children develop in stages, and sometimes they skip stages, and sometimes they go through it three times as fast as we thought it should take them. You have to look at your individual patient and say, this is where you are as a person. This is what happened to you event-wise, and this is the response you're having. And that's not something that you can just replicate, you know, out to an entire population of people.